Attention tadpoles. You are now listening to the host of Where I Belong, the Frog King himself, David Corvo.
Oh, what's up, guys? How you doing? Oh my goodness, I got a headache. I got a thumping headache. I got a thumping headache and I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. I'm lying to myself. I had a lot to drink last night. What was I watching? I don't remember what I was watching. I was watching something. And I had a bunch of drinks, but... Actually, I was playing, what do you call that? The Witcher 2. I wasn't really watching anything. I was playing a whole bunch of The Witcher 2. It's been sucking me down a kind of a portal lately. And... taking my life away. Do you know what I'm saying? But there's just nothing else to do when it's cold outside. You know what I mean? It's been like -7 the past few mornings that I've woken up for work. -7. And I ask myself, what am I doing? Why do I live here in this place where it's fucking terribly cold? I always hate the Jesus Christ. It's my son. It sounds like he just dove headfirst off of the bed onto his bedroom floor. That's how he wakes up in the morning. Just a full dive. No hands out above. I made that mistake once. Went to the YMCA. Got on the high dive. Dove off. Didn't put my hands above my head first to break the water. I just let the top of my dome splat. Just slap against the water. Almost knocked me out cold. But yeah, man, what was I saying to you? It's not much to do when it's this cold out. You know what I mean? It's cool to play games and everything, but that's about all you can do. You stay inside, hang out with the boy, hang out with the wife, do some podcasts, listen to some podcasts, watch a movie. You know, hold on a second. I gotta make sure my sound's working.
It's not much to do.
Yeah, it's working. But this morning was cool. Today was cool because it hit 48 degrees today. Everything starts melting, you know, because we got hit with some snow and -7 degree weather, a lot of ice, terrible shit. Car doesn't want to start some morning. It's so cold. Some mornings you go to turn the key and it's just, didn't really want to do anything. And so 48 degrees rolls in. Excuse me. I got caca in my throat. My wife's had like strep or something for maybe 4 days now. She's finally coming down from it. My son was sick and I've pretty much managed to avoid it, excluding that little cough. But yeah, so today was 48 degrees and I took my ass running. I'm so out of shape, man. I'm so out of shape. I ran a mile, and there's a hill around the corner from us because we live in the mountains, so it's really, you know, there's a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And there's one hill not far from my house. My wife calls it Jonah Hill. And it's part of this loop that's a mile. So every time I do this loop and I pass by the front of my house, I know it's been a mile. But you got to go up Jonah Hill to make the... So it's kind of cool because it's not a mile like everybody else's mile. It's you know, it's a fucking mountain mile, boy. You got to run up that hill. So, you know, I've heard people say that when you listen to music, music kind of gives you this extra gear that you didn't know you had. You know what I mean? Like you could be tired and a good song comes on, suddenly you're not tired anymore and you're crushing it. So I'm listening to some music, and some bullshit comes on, like Imagine Dragons comes on, because I listen to alternative stations a lot, and the other day I saw somebody say, Imagine Dragons is just Nickelback in 2019, and I was like, oh god, that's so true. You know, something about them, I can't put my finger on it, they just annoy the shit out of me. So, I'm running, you know, Imagine Dragons comes on or whatever, and I don't really like them too much, but there is a certain part of the song that's got, like, you know, it's got some oomph to it. And so I'm running up Jonah Hill. I'm dying. I stare at my feet when I run up that hill. I don't look at the top of the hill because I don't like to see how far I've got to go still. I look down most of the time, and then I'll pop my head up and look up the hill to be surprised at how far I've come. And then I put my head back down and do it again. So I finally get to the top of the hill. My body feels like it's just dying. It's only 1 mile. This is how out of shape I am, right? I feel like I'm dying. I feel absolutely terrible. My legs are filling up with blood, and they feel so heavy they don't even really want to bend and articulate anymore. I'm just kind of like stiff-legging it up this hill. I get to the top. Everything's good. And finally, it evens out. And all of a sudden, some part of the song comes on. I don't know what they're talking about. I think it's that song, Natural. Hey, you're a natural, a bleeding heart of gold. You know, and it gets to this part, and I just feel like, you know, I like songs that provoke a lot of imagery, you know? So if it's like saying something about being at the top of the mountain, if I'm on the mountain and I'm running, like, that's my shit right there. I'm at the top of the mountain, homie. So it says something, it provokes a lot of imagery. It gives me that second gear. I start sprinting. I start full sprinting. And I think what's really funny is I've got my headphones in, I'm listening to music, and I have a tendency to get kind of like, I'll go a little beast mode, right? I'll get a little rough, go a little beast mode. And so I'm running, and I hit that second gear, and I'll go, like, I'll make that noise. And to me, it's great. Because that noise is like, it's very primal. It just comes out of me, and I do it. Grit my teeth, and I just fucking go. But I think what's really funny is I'm not, like, you know, my sprint isn't super fast, right? I'm not Usain Bolt. So if you look out your window, you just happen to look out your window, and there's some guy running, like, pretty fast, going down your street. You know, that's me. It's kind of embarrassing. But I did that, and I get all the way to the house, and I'm good. I checked the mailbox, tossed my arms above my head, because my boy told me once when we were younger, he said, put your arms above your head when you're trying to catch your breath, because it enables your lungs to expand more than they typically would be able to if your arms are down at your side, and so you'll catch your breath faster. You know, so I toss my arms up in the air, I'm taking deep breaths, I'm catching my breath, everything's good. I go inside, because now I've worked up a poop. Right, the way I look at it is, if you're a ketchup bottle when you're running and there's not a lot of ketchup left in you, so you're turned upside down, and then the running is constantly like tapping the ketchup bottle to bring all the ketchup to the top, which is now at the bottom. And so I'm the ketchup bottle. When I run, I'm just scraping all the poop off the inner, you know, off my intestinal wall and down towards my pooter. And so every time I'm done, I gotta go to the bathroom. So I go inside, I go to the bathroom, and I'm just dying, dude. Like, I'm sitting on that toilet, and I'm feeling nauseous. I'm thinking about puking. You know, but I didn't puke, but I got in the shower afterwards, in a hot shower, because I don't give a shit how hot I am. I'll never take a cold shower. I'm not that dude that's going to get into the cold water and do the ice bath and shit. Fuck you, buddy. That's not me. So, you know, I'm in the hot shower now. I'm sweating on top of sweating. And I'm getting dizzy. I'm getting nauseous. And, I mean, I still don't feel great right now. This was hours ago. That's how out of shape I am. And it's a bummer, man, because every winter I go through this cycle, you know, where I get in great shape during the summer. And every summer I seem to get in progressively better shape. So for the past like 3-4 summers, that's been happening. And I'm thinking this summer, this will be the fourth one, I think. This summer I should be able to get in even better shape than the prior three. But every winter, you know, I was talking to Eric Lundy, who was a prior podcast guest. He's got an app right now out for iPad called Hololeg Comics. Go check that out. It enables you to create interactive comic strips. And Eric is a big fan of running. And he said to me that he stops running at like 30 degrees typically. Like once 30 degrees hits, it's not really for him anymore. My threshold is about 50 degrees. Once 50 degrees hits, I'm not fucking running anymore, bro. I'm done. I like a hot run. You know what I mean? I like running in the heat because I like sweating. You know, to me, it feels my acne is always the best when I'm sweating a lot, like when I'm really sweating the crap out of my body. Drinking a lot of water, sweating a lot, I think my face is always at its clearest then. I just feel best when I can get a good sweat on, like daily. But that door closes 50 degrees, man. I'm done. You know, and 48 degrees was kind of like a special. It was like a holiday, like I was running because I just hadn't seen one in a while. And so I got out there, and I should be able to do it the rest of this week because we're supposed to hit in like the 55 range, something like that, all this week. So we'll see. But half of the year, as soon as probably late October, early October, or mid to late October rather, I'm done. Pretty much done running. And that's a bummer because if I'm not running, then my diet starts to slip, right? Because I'm of the thought process of if I put in a hard workout today, I'm definitely not going to eat a bunch of garbage and fuck up the progress that I've made. But if I haven't made any progress because there was a lack of working out, then, you know, yesterday I bought, today I've done really good. You know, steak, sweet potato, avocado, you know, some fruit, raisins, apple, banana. You know, I've been pretty good. Yesterday, not so good. Party size package of Oreos, a bag of sweet and spicy Doritos, which, you know, if you're looking for a Dorito in your life and you're done with that Cool Ranch shit, head over to that purple bag because that purple bag has everything that you're going to need for the rest of your Dorito experience. It's sweet and it's spicy. It's delicious. So, you know, did a bunch of that. Just not good, man. Not good. But, you know, this morning I did my thing. I went for the run. I had a good meal. I did maybe 4 or 5 sets of chin-ups. Not in a row. I kind of do a chin-up. I'll do like a set of 10, and I'll walk around. I'll come back, do another set of 10. You know, I keep it in the doorway by the bathroom. So, like, it's not in the bathroom doorway. It's just the bathroom's right across from this doorway. So if I'm going to the bathroom, I'll look up, I'll see it, I'll hop up, I'll do 10. You know, one of my workout methods for people that, because I had like, you know, there was a period in time where I might give out some advice. You know, people might come to me and be like, Dave, how'd you get in shape? Because I used to be big. Used to be heavy, man. And like my cousin, for example, was like, oh, what are you doing for workouts? Like, how do you recommend starting to work out? Because I don't work out typically at all. So I suggested what I call pee-pee push-ups. Right, which is every time you go to the bathroom and you're gonna pee, before or after you pee, but before you wash your hands, do 10 push-ups, 15 push-ups, whatever you could do. If you could do 5 push-ups, do 5 push-ups. But you couple that with staying really hydrated, and you're gonna pee a lot, which means, you know, you're gonna be in the bathroom a lot. Every time you're in the bathroom, 5 push-ups. And I forget why I even mentioned that, but that's kind of my methodology for getting in shape. And I think it's the same way for the 10 chin-ups. It's like every time you pass by the doorway, just do 10 chin-ups, man. You don't gotta so shit, bitch. Can you guys see that? I don't know if you guys can see that fucking spider. Can you guys see that? Bro, that was a big ass spider. I'm sorry to have fucked the podcast up like that, but that wasn't a big spider. It was just a decent sized spider that was crawling on my microphone. It didn't fall on my drink, did it? Ugh, you know how bad that would suck. Anyway. The hell was I talking about? I want to move. I want to get the hell, and I say this all the time, but I want to get out of some place where I'm just a bad version of myself for half of the year. You know, I like running. I'm fucked up, man, because I don't know where that spider is anymore. That bad boy's going to be on me. Anyway. I'm sorry. That fucked me up. maybe it'll bite me. Maybe I'll get to be Spider-Man's. I did see Spider-Man, by the way. Enter the Spider-Verse or whatever it was, and I'll get to that later on. But it was great. So yeah, I want to move someplace where I don't have to be a shit version of myself for half of the year. You know, because that's really what it's come down to, is like half of the year for 28 years, which means for 14 years. Yeah, 14 years. For 14 years, I've been a shit version of myself. Not really. I mean, if you take it to childhood and everything. But it's just that, why am I spending half of my life miserable? I'm not a fan of the cold. I'm not a fan of the snow. I haven't been for a very long time. I haven't been since they stopped giving me off for school. So, you know, I just feel like moving to a different place would be best for me, because I'd be able to maintain being in shape for, you know. You know what's funny? What's funny is what actually got me into shape. What got me into shape was fat shaming. And the reason I say that is because I was delusional at one point about how big I actually was. I gotta double check this, make sure there's no spiders in it. I don't know where that dude is. He's probably crawling up my leg right now. But around the time, not around the time, during my wife's pregnancy, they say that the guy will, you know, the husband will gain weight too. Dude, I got so impossibly big. Like, there's a picture of me out there with a hot dog in each hand, and I've got like part of it in my mouth and the other one is like holding it close to my chest so nobody takes it from me. And I was so big, dude. I had to be like 220. Somewhere close to 220. I'm 5'7". 220 is huge for 5'7", right? So, and my friends, particularly Nub and Amanda, shout out to them for, Amanda had this joke about my belly button being a swimming pool for ants. And I was just so impossibly fat, so big. And I was so in denial about it. I would look in the mirror and I would look at like the dark, greasy lines under my tits and I would go, eh, I could probably use a little bit of toning, but I'm in pretty good shape. You know, which is not true at all. They took that picture of me with the hot dogs. I saw that picture, couple that with the amount of ridicule that I was getting from them at the time, and it made me realize, like, oh shit, no, I'm unhealthy as fuck. Like, I'm super fat. I need to do something about it. Which, you know, if it wasn't for them saying that, I was aware in one regard, but in another regard, I was entirely in denial about my size. And so, you know, shout out to them for that, because it helped to shake me up and realize, like, it wasn't okay how big that I've gotten. And, you know, I decided to lose weight after that. But fat shaming, literally, it's similar to like the Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer thing. It was like they fat shamed each other into losing weight. And Tom lost the weight, Bert didn't really lose the weight, and then he put some extra weight on top of it. But, you know, the point being was that fat shaming was actually great for them. I think it's important for your friends to tell you when you're slipping, and it shouldn't be okay to tell your friend when they're slipping except for when it comes to their weight. That's not okay. And I don't always believe in finding a nice way to say it either, because my friends and I don't find a nice way to say anything. So it would be out of character for them to come up to me and be like, listen, man, I just wanted to have a conversation. I think that your lifestyle isn't one that is, you know, something you can sustain for the long run. And I think that, you know, it's also very unhealthy, and you're going to have a kid soon and you have to think about that. Like, no, dude, you fat. You got titties. I had sweet titties too, like a couple of B cups. You know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't pushing through porn star status with those tits. You know, I probably wasn't going to get any roles with Bang Bros, but, you know, you might want to see the bra slip off in like a romantic comedy. So, it was a good thing that my friends fat shamed me into losing weight, because I was really getting up there. But yeah, like I was saying, man, it just sucks. It sucks to get out of shape for half a year. And, you know, I could be stop being a bitch, and I could go outside and I can run and I could eat healthy and everything, but eh, it's cold. And I am a bitch. And I've been doing this for a long time now, and I don't want to do it anymore. So thinking about moving. Anyway, yeah, running was a bitch though. It was rough, man. It sucked. Still don't feel great. Had a headache all day too. Some sort of a migraine from drinking, like I said. And so, you know, just every thump was just a nightmare. But, you know, and then here I am. I've got some sort of a White Claw. My wife got these White Claw things. It's like a hard seltzer. It's not bad. It's all right. It tastes like spiders. So yeah, I did go and see Spider-Man. And it was very cool because it was the first movie that I took my son to see. It was just me and my boy, a little dad adventure. And I made sure that I did it kind of in the middle of the day because I don't want to get the movie. I don't know how he's going to be. You know, he's very well behaved. But I just didn't know how he was going to be in a movie theater, you know, where it's filled with people, and I didn't want him to ruin the movie for people. So we made sure that we went early, and there was only like, there was one lonely lady, looked like she was probably in her 40s, just sitting there watching Spider-Verse by herself. And then there was, she was very nice, you know. And then there was a couple with a kid, you know, a couple seats down from us. And that was it. That was the whole movie theater. So, and he was really well behaved and he loved it. You know, he got a little antsy towards the end there because you're asking a kid to sit down for whatever it is. It's a long movie. It's not short, you know. But it was great, man. That movie was just phenomenal. Just the art style was really cool. It was like they took a comic book and they took that art and they made it into a CG film. Or a CGI, what do they call it? CGI, like the style of Pixar or whatever. Kind of, it felt like a Pixar film, in a lot of ways as far as the animation went. And the story was great, the characters were great, the action scenes were phenomenal. You know, there were scenes that choked me up. I was just talking to my wife in the car about. She said that I wasn't an empath, like an empathetic person. And it's because I seem emotionally detached in a lot of ways where, like, I don't have the ability to comfort people. Like, if you're going through some shit and you need to be comforted, like, don't come to me, essentially. And, but in some ways she's right, in other ways she's wrong, because the stupidest shit will have me crying now. You know, I'll get choked up. I was playing The Witcher 3, I think it was, or The Witcher 2. And there's just this scene in the game where you're helping a dude track down his... You're helping a character to defeat a demon. And the demon has come into existence as a result of him burying his miscarried daughter and not giving her a name and a proper funeral. And because of that lack of closure, it spawns some sort of demon or whatever, and he's got to like take the demon and hold it and say some kind of prayer over it and give it a name and tell the demon that it's loved and all this crazy shit. And like, I got choked up as hell. I was almost crying, you know. So I think that I do have a lot of empathy because I feel like, you know, this is all tied into just me getting choked up in scenes during Spider-Man, but I'll give you a really long, convoluted way around that, which is, like, I feel like I'm incredibly aware for everyone's emotional state and why they are the way that they are, more so than they're even aware of it. I think that some things happen in my life where I just shut down that ability to sympathize in a way that it manifests physically or verbally or anything like that. It's all internalized. Like, I'm aware of the situation. I'm very aware of the situation. I think I probably, and this is like a narcissistic thing to say, but like, I'm more aware of what's going on and why everyone is the way that they are than the people that are in the room with me. But I can't act out on it because of a couple things. One of them was like when I was younger, I went through like some traumatic experiences with being homeless and, you know, severing relationships and having no meaning in life. And if I were to have, indulged in my emotions too much, I probably would have killed myself, right? Because there was moments in my childhood where I was like, or my teenage years, where I was like suicidal. But I don't think that I ever actually would have done anything, because I don't think that that's in me. But I contemplated it really often. Like, it was a very consistent thought in my mind, was like the thought of offing myself. And so to cope with that, I kind of had to like shut the emotions off, and not like bottle them up in some weird way, but learn how to rationalize them and understand that being emotionally reactive to a situation was not useful. And I think in some ways I can drop that now. I think that that's not true. Like, I look at my son and I get emotional and we share moments that choke me up and everything. And sometimes I just stare at him and he's like, what the hell's wrong with you? But I'm just staring at him because he's, you know, magical and amazing. And you know, I love him to death. So there's obviously, but at that time in my life, it wasn't useful to be emotionally responsive. So that's number one. Number two is, in high school, when I left from Carteret and I went to Woodbridge was like balls deep in that emo scene. Like, emo was the shit. And there was a mix of things that I saw. One of the things that I saw were, some people suffer. It is what it is. Everyone suffers in their own kind of way. Some people suffer in such a way as to advertise their suffering to other people for social currency, right? So some people are just kind of amplifying any suffering that might exist in their life to bring, and it's not really like a terrible thing, right? Because if you're suffering, you want attention. But I think some people, it was almost trendy. I mean, obviously it was trendy. Emo was a thing. It was a style. It was a trend. And so it was, in fact, trendy on a lot of levels to advertise your suffering. Now, that's one aspect of it. The other was the type of person that would comfort that person in an effort to also advertise their value socially. Like, there was the out loud sufferer, and there was the out loud comforter. So the people that want you to know that they're suffering, for whatever reason, some are valid, some are maybe really, what was that, Gautier, how's that line go? You can get addicted to a certain kind of sadness. Like, there's an addiction in a certain type of sadness. And a lot of it lies in the attention that you get, right? I'm not saying anything that's fucking outlandish or groundbreaking here. That's a fact. Everybody knows that. Some people suffer loudly because they like the attention that it brings. And then some people will continue to seek out suffering so that they will receive that sort of attention. For whatever reason, I'm sure the reasons are pretty sad. It was like you weren't fulfilled as a child, blah, 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 blah. But also, I wonder how much of it is just that it was a culturally trendy thing to suffer loudly. And then there was also the type of person that would comfort them because they want to be seen doing that, which is kind of worse, I think, because it's not like genuine. You're not genuinely sympathetic to this person's, you know, lower moments in life. You're doing it and then looking around to see who notices. It's like the person that goes and gives a homeless person money but records it and puts it up on their fucking social media. Like, that's gross. You're gross. I don't know. I almost would rather you, if it wasn't for the sake of that person having the money now, I would almost rather you not do that in the first place. Give a homeless person money just for the views or whatever. So I saw a lot of that, which is just, it's just kids. Kids do that shit, you know what I mean? And so the other thing, so there's three things, right? The first one was my having to learn to kind of shut that off or compartmentalize it or rationalize it and like swallow the emotions because I knew that it wasn't good to react. And then that also was kind of coupled with this, like, I know why in certain situations it's valuable to not act emotionally, to preserve the sanity of the situation. Because often a situation might be bad, but to react to it on an emotional level will make it significantly worse. So I see the value in that. And so when I see other people acting emotionally, it's almost like you don't see the value in not doing that. Like, that was something I learned as a teenager. And you don't see the value in not keeping your shit together right now, because I equate it almost to panicking. You know what I mean? And this is all a positive to some extent, but it's also a negative. This is kind of my emotional inavailability, or my inability to soothe a person who's going through something, to sympathize in a physical or verbal way. But so there's that, right? I'll kind of look at them and I'm like, you don't see the thing that I fucking learned when I was, you know, 18 years old. The hell's going on here? You're a fucking adult. The other thing is, like I said, is I've watched a lot of people signal that they're upset, whether or not it was genuine, and then other people signal that they were going to comfort them and that they want other people to see that. Fucking gross, right? And the third thing is, I don't know everything that happens in those moments when someone's going through some shit and somebody else is running up and comforting them and saying all of the things. All of the things seem very cliche. In fact, all of the moments that are happening feel like they're from a fucking movie or a show. Like, are we reenacting movie scenes and shows? Are we all addicted to behaving like Hollywood? You know what? That just feels so fucking weird to me. And I'm telling this to my wife. My wife rationalizes and goes, why are you letting other people ruin shit for you? I'm like, ah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Why am I letting other people ruin my emotional availability? Right, because those moments are obviously important. When you can console someone, that's important. That's how you build bonds. Human beings build the strongest bonds through trauma. But I've removed myself from trauma entirely. And I look at people who respond emotionally to trauma as if they don't have their shit together, which is fucked up. It's fucked up. I know it's fucked up, and it's, you know, it's something that I got to work on. But I don't think that I'm not empathetic, because what's the difference between empathy and sympathy? It's like sympathy is your ability to relate to them. I'm probably going to fuck this up. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to look it up. Sympathy is your ability to relate to them, and empathy is your ability to feel and understand them. Like, I feel and understand everything. I get it all. I don't know why. And I'm probably wrong. Right? What the fuck has qualified me to come to some period of my life or point in my life where I think I understand everyone's emotions and why they are the way that they are? But, like, I don't know. It doesn't really fail me. Sometimes I overthink things, but, like, my analysis of a person's behavior is usually so fucking close to right. Maybe it's intuition. I guess, yeah, you would call that intuition, right? And I think the only thing that sharpens intuition is, like, life experience. Like, I've been through shit. The reason that I get it is because I've acted that way on some level throughout my life. But I'm terribly self-analytical. And so at some point I came to a realization of why I act that way, and then I just see that in other people. And I assume, I think rightfully so, that most of us are very similar. You know, like, I was able pretty early on to recognize that the arguments, you know, the fights that I was getting into in my relationships as a young man, you know, or a teenager, whatever, it was usually the same flavor of fight regardless of the girlfriend. And so I started to realize, like, oh, most people, like, we're all different. Obviously, we're all different. We're all individuals. But there was a large percentage of us that can be applied to generalities. Like, a lot of us, most of us, are very similar at the same time because we're all human beings. You know, and so, like I said, having been so, being so self-analytical, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on myself and why I behave the way that I do. And I just see that in other people. So, but Spider-Man makes me cry. That was the fucking point of this huge convoluted rant that I told you that I was going to take you on, and I just did. It's a good movie, though. It's a really good movie. I highly recommend it. I think it might have been the best Spider-Man movie. You know, so big shout out to Eric Lundy once again, because we talked about it. He said that I should bring my son. He said it was awesome. And so I ended up bringing my son, and it was awesome. It was awesome. My God, guys, my head is pounding right now. I gotta stop drinking. You know, I think the drinking is a big part of it, too. It makes your face puffy. Man, my burps are weird. What else? Like I said, it's supposed to be like 55 all this week. So I'm going to try. I'm going to get back out there. I'm going to keep running. You know, try to at least run 2 miles. Maybe I could bump it up to 3. That's a good place to be for a while. Stop eating the sweets. Stay away from carbohydrates. That's basically how I did it. If anybody's out there that wants to lose weight and they don't have the information that I have, which, like, if you don't by now, have you even been to the internet? Stop eating carbs. Right? Do an elimination diet. I'm fat and I don't know why. Try eliminating nearly everything at first. Lose the weight. And then only after you've lost the weight, try reintroducing things one thing at a time and see if there's an adverse reaction. Reintroduce carbohydrates. Did I gain weight? Did my back hurt? Did I get heartburn? You know, because for a long time I had acid reflux. I've talked about this in other podcasts, and it was only until I straightened my shit out, stopped eating sugars and stopped eating carbohydrates on a daily basis. I can still slip up and have them, and it won't immediately trigger heartburn. I have to go like a few days consistently with eating it before I'll start to show signs of heartburn again. But it was only when I eliminated those things did that stuff go away. So that was one of the first things that I did. I tried some gimmicky 30-day detox or whatever. And I got lucky, because the one that I tried, it was like, for 30 days, just don't eat bullshit. Eat a lot of leafy greens. Eat eggs and chicken. No bread, no sugar. You know, eat a bunch of different veggies except for some starchy ones. Stay away from some starchy ones. And drink every day, drink X amount of glasses of warm water with lemon juice, fresh squeezed lemon juice in it. And do that, no dairy, blah, 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 blah. So it was easy. After I did that first 30 days, I then went ketogenic. So it was like, I was able to introduce some shit again. You know, cheeses, a bit of dairy or whatever, you know, spice the diet up a little bit. I was able to go back to beef, steak and shit. And I had actually been working out really hard up until that point and not losing really any weight. Like, I lost some weight, but it wasn't like the weight that I lost when I coupled the working out with ketogenic diet. Then it just started falling off. It was crazy. So yeah, you know, people, they try a lot of, and you don't have to go ketogenic, right? But I think the elimination diet is a good move. It's like, I'm fat and I don't know why. Try getting rid of most things. Hard-boiled eggs, chicken, leafy greens, you know. You can have your coffee. but don't put the fucking sugary creamer in there. You know, that's another thing too, is like the amount of things that have sugar in it that you're not really aware of, or you don't really think about. Like, I'm not telling you to stop eating chocolate, only chocolate. I'm saying, look at your fucking creamer, your non-dairy creamer, your Coffee Mate shit that you've been spilling in your coffee. It's got sugar in it, right? Your peanut butter. Oh, you can have peanut butter. Peanut butter is good. Yeah. You can have peanut butter. Like the shit with the oil separation that when you look at the ingredients, it says peanuts, salt, and peanut oil. That's cool. Or peanuts and salt. That's cool. But you can't have Skippy, bro. Skippy is just peanut-flavored sugar spread. You know, you can't have that shit. You know, just get rid of all that. Anything that's white flour, especially white flour. Can't eat fucking Wonder Bread. It's not good for you. You know what I watched? I watched Fed Up when I first started to lose all the weight. Fed Up was a good one. That helped me a lot. It was basically about how the sugar industry was being demonized, like in the 60s or 70s, or is when people first started to realize that sugar was the cause of like all these diseases, diabetes and shit, and the sugar industry had such a chokehold on the way America ate that they started a campaign to demonize fat. So it was, everything started going fat free. But what happens is, when you remove the fat from anything, it starts to taste like shit. So the way you fix that is you add sugar. And so it was like a win-win for them. They got the spotlight off of themselves, but then they also got to like slip into all kinds of shit that was in. So it was like fat-free was a huge craze for all these decades. Meanwhile, it was sugar. And not only were they changing the language, but they were also able to slip into the food anyway because the food tasted like shit, and to make it taste better, you had to add sugar. And so Fed Up is a really interesting documentary. It just goes to show you like all the shit that you can't eat, really. It's a little bit of a bummer, but I don't look at it as a bummer anymore. You know, like I said, I ate a fucking party-sized thing of Oreos yesterday, and well, number one, I felt like shit, but when you get your diet right, you don't really miss the shit. Sugar creates a certain type of stomach. I'm gonna go ahead and butcher this for you guys. Sugar creates a certain type of stomach bacteria that craves sugar. And what the stomach bacteria does is it creates a premature hunger sensation. So, have you ever, like, eaten a bunch of shit, but you get, like, hunger pains at some point throughout the day that make you feel like you're starving to death? Like, you can go 7 days or some shit without eating before you die. But if you have Chinese food in the afternoon, by 5 o'clock, your stomach's gonna be rolling, dude. Like, you haven't eaten ever. And you're gonna destroy everything all over again. You know, people say it's the MSG. I don't think it's the MSG. I think most of the meat is covered in a type of sugary sauce, right? So if you're talking about boneless spare ribs and all that other shit, you know, General Tso's, all that's got sugar in the sauce. And all the noodles and rice, that's all carbs. Carbs is processed the same way. Carbohydrates, especially simple carbohydrates, create the same type of stomach bacteria that sugar does. And so it's the same thing. It's that premature hunger sensation that, you know, that bacteria is craving that. And so next thing you know, you're eating shit like a werewolf, even though you could go another 6 days before dying or something. You know what I mean? But yeah. So when you change the bacteria that lives in your gut, you don't get those cravings anymore. And in fact, fats, healthy fats, are a better fuel source, and they keep you fuller for longer, and they keep that sensation away. So like avocados and nuts will keep you full as shit for a long time. Like I've eaten, you know, a bag of mixed nuts or whatever, you know, cashews and peanuts, and peanuts make me really gassy. So I try to start to cut back on those, but cashews and walnuts and almonds and shit, and that'll keep you full. It'll keep you full for a long time. I love avocados. Avocados are delicious as well. That'll keep you full for a long time. So, you know, the more you know. But you know what we watched the other day? I'm just segue, just weak ass segues to the next thing. I don't really have anything to talk about, man. I've been fucking up. I just haven't been putting the effort into this show. Like, should I be trying hard? Yes, but I've just been slacking this past week. You know, it's been so cold, and I've been eating such garbage. That's the other thing, too, I notice, is, like, when my diet is right, everything else works better. My mind works better, I'm more aggressive, I'm more, goal-oriented. But when my diet slips, my discipline slips, my energy levels, everything, it just goes downhill. So I didn't really come with anything to talk about. You know what I mean? I took an Alpha Brain right before I started this. It's not going to kick in until after I'm done with this. I'll be watching whatever movie I'm watching with my wife and son, just fucking, you know, balls deep focused on it. But, yeah, man. What do we talk about? What else happened to me? That's, I went to Walmart today. Went to McDonald's, took my son to the play place. That was gross. Play places and McDonald's are gross. My wife said she had to go up there at one point because, you know, he starts calling you, "Mom, Dad, come up here." And I was talking to some other parent in McDonald's. And so she goes up there with him instead. She comes down, she's like, "It's so gross up there. It smells like piss and everything is sticky." You know what I noticed too is, like, everything McDonald's is getting replaced with kiosks and shit, right? So, like, you really have, like, little to no interaction with the cashiers. And, so you feel like, oh, their job must be, like, severely, the load must be lightened. They have less to do, right? But they can't get inside the thing and clean the shit. And also, when you talk to them, they're like, I mean, they're kids, right? They're just teenagers and shit. But teenagers are already socially awkward, and their communication skills are, they're just garbage. So you start putting kiosks in there. McDonald's is that entry-level job. McDonald's is that teach you how to be an employee and a functioning adult job. And if you start putting kiosks in there, well, that customer interaction is like a great, I know it from experience, is a great way to become accustomed to talking to all varieties of people. And if you take that away from them, they're not doing that anymore. So if you try to communicate with them, they're like just morons. They're all like I walked up to one of them and I said, "Hey, can I get a cup for ice?" And they looked at me just like blank stared, and I was like, can I take one of these cups for ice? And I swear to God, he just dabbed. I said, "Can I have a cup for any?" And he just dabbed at me. And I just took the cup and I walked away. He didn't say anything. You know, so I don't know. I feel like it's probably a bad idea. But either way, it's funny because you lighten the load and it still seems like they can't do what they got to do. It's sticky. It smells like piss inside the thing. You know, it's one of those things where they're like, "Oh, the minimum wage should be raised to like $15 an hour or some crazy shit." And I'm like, dude, I don't think that's a good idea. What are you going to do at McDonald's that's going to equate to $15 an hour worth of work? You know what I mean? You know, I don't know. I feel like there should be, if there's a job that is only worth $5 an hour, like, that should be a job too. You know what I mean? There should be, if a 13-year-old wants to get out there and make $5 an hour, or if somebody is just like, "I got a job that needs doing for a week, but it's really only worth like $5 an hour, but, you know, you're going to pump out like 40, it's super easy, but like I can only pay you, I'm not going to pay you more than that to do this super minuscule thing." Like, there's a, this thing is dripping, and until it gets fixed, I need to pay somebody to just put, wow, the bucket's gonna get overfilled. Just put the empty bucket there, dump that one out, and just keep whatever. I don't care what you do in the meantime. You can be on your phone, whatever. You know what I mean? That job should be available for people if they want to do that. And I also think, like, you think corporations aren't going to raise the price of commodity? Do you think they're not going to do that? Like, if McDonald's has to pay their employees $15 an hour, number one, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to get kiosks. We're not going to pay people to take your order for $15 an hour. Do that at the kiosk. Now we could eliminate half the staff. You know what I mean? And the other thing, too, is, like, if they didn't have that option for a kiosk, say bye-bye to the dollar menu, bitch. You know what I mean? They're going to jack the prices up. If Walmart has to pay everybody $15 an hour, they're going to cut their staff in half. Everybody's going to have to do more than they had to do before. And if something happens, they're like, well, all these people are out of jobs, you can't do that. Fine. Price of commodities going up. That package of napkins, boy, that's $7 now. You know what I mean? To me, it just doesn't make sense that you would raise the minimum wage that much when, like, I have personally worked jobs that were not worth that much. You know what I mean? Like, not every job should be $15 an hour minimum. Some jobs are garbage jobs that it doesn't make sense to. So what, you're going to get rid of all the really, really low jobs for people to do? I don't know. It just seems strange. So you raise, I'm pretty sure it's in New York, it's like that. Once you go to McDonald's in New York, and it's all fucking kiosks. You know? It just seems like a lose-lose, man. There's the kids at McDonald's, half of them aren't there anymore. And the remaining half, they can't even, they just fucking dab. You know, they can't even communicate with you anymore. You know what I mean? It used to be like, welcome McDonald's, can I take your order? You know, and then you walk in now and you go up to the fucking thing and they're like talking. And you're just standing there being patient and they're just talking and you're like, excuse me. And they stop their conversation and one of them turns to you and goes, bruh. Bruh. What the fuck? I just don't think it's a good idea. I don't think so. Yeah, man, that's how I just went on a rant about fucking McDonald's for mad long. That's how little I have to say here. Yeah, so anyway. I want to grow out my hair. I was thinking about doing that. I think a lot of guys have this issue where it's like you want to grow your hair out because you see dudes with long hair and cool hairstyles, but then your hair gets to a certain point where it feels stupid, so then you cut it, and then it goes back to like being really short, and you're like, ah, that's bum. I think chicks do that too, though, right? Chicks will always like cut their hair, and then they'll be upset that their hair is cut. But guys go through that shit way more often because we never let our hair get like that long, most of us at least, and so we're like a little bit more desensitized, but it still sucks. Like, I'm kind of in this area right now. Let me take my hair off, or my hat off. And it's, like, kind of, I don't know if you can see that, like, it's over my fingers a little bit. I got to take down the sides and get that all trimmed up. I'm sorry, guys. I haven't refined this product at all. McDonald's and fucking haircuts. Man. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Don't give a fuck about that, huh? I never care about the football games, man. I never care about the football. I don't care about sports like that. I was never really a sports guy. I don't even know who's playing. I couldn't tell you who's playing. I really couldn't do that to you. But that was kind of one of the things I justified eating a bunch of Doritos and a bunch of Oreos. I was like, the whole world's going to be doing this tomorrow. I might as well get mine today. But I don't know who's playing tonight. I don't know who's playing tonight. I got no idea. I got to pee so bad. I just never into, like, I can't find the excitement in it. I've watched games before, just never. Baseball was the same way. Never really cared about baseball. I like combat sports because, you know, I'm fucking super manly, super macho. I like a good combat sport. Boxing's great. MMA is my shit. But other than that, I never really cared about any other sport. Hockey, God, I actually have... I've been to a hockey game. And I didn't watch any of it. Like, I didn't give a fuck at all. It was cool, like, being there in the audience. It was in NJ Devils, New Jersey Devils. It was... I didn't care at all. You know, to me, it's like... People's favorite parts of basketball, people's favorite parts about baseball, hockey, all that shit, is like when they fight. Like, when the team gets... It becomes a highlight. It becomes, like, newsworthy. People talk about it forever. Bitch, cut to the chase. Get in a fucking ring. Get in an octagon. Fight. Get in a ring that isn't a ring. It's a square. Fight. Put on some gloves. Big ones, little ones. Fight. Kick each other. You know, it's what everybody wants to see. Sports are essentially a war simulation that society has deemed civilized. We're simulating war. That's what we're doing. Cut to the chase, bro. Do the actual war. Go do that thing. That's what we're here to see. That's what we want to see anyway. You know, when you used to watch baseball and people used to storm the dugouts, that was the shit. Apparently, it doesn't even happen anymore. Probably because of all kinds of legal ramifications. But when I was a kid, I came from a household that was heavy into baseball and heavy into the New York Yankees. And I remember my grandma, she wasn't really my grandma, whatever. She was like balls deep, those old lady balls. She had them deep into baseball. And her favorite parts were when they would storm the dugouts and they would start fighting. And so she would stand up and she would scream, "Fuck yeah, woo!" And just cut to the chase, grandma. Watch the UFC. It's better. Watch boxing. It's better. You know, a sport's most violent moments are its most memorable moments. And the same thing goes for boxing and shit. It's like when Tyson bit dude's ear off. Like, that's the most what? They got really violent in a violent sport. That's fucking crazy. That's what people want to see. I think we're all just lying to ourselves that we want to be, like, civilized and normal people. Like, no, we like the violence. We like the chaos. And, I think we just should admit it. We should admit it. You know, I was talking to some dude today at McDonald's, and he was saying, you know, with his kids, and it's not a popular opinion, but he thinks that if somebody should physically aggress your child, that your child should punch him in the fucking face. You know, and I'm of the same school of thought. Because having bullying when I was a young man, a young child, a boy, and I would troll a teacher, like, that shit never worked, bro. That shit never worked. They would just go, "Don't do that," you know, in that way. And then what would happen is that they would either do it anyway, or they would catch you outside of school. You know, where's the teacher now, bro? You know what I mean? So, I you're teaching your kid that way how to survive in a bubble. The bubble is school. What happens outside of school? Now, I think if somebody assaults you, you defend yourself. I don't know how I got on there. It was just a conversation that I had with the dude today, and he was talking about that like it was in like it was an unpopular opinion or it wasn't. And I was like, I don't know, dude. It was pretty popular with me. You know, I teach my son how to throw punches, but at this moment in time, I'm not teaching him how to defend himself against people. I've not connected that bridge yet. Like, the thing that we're doing is to protect yourself against aggressors. Like, right now, it's more like a activity. You know, although he sees cartoons and stuff where characters beat each other up, although that's not really the fucking case anymore, because if you watch cartoons that are made in recent years compared to cartoons that are made when we were younger, it's like the Hulk has all this strength and all this rage. He doesn't beat anybody up, though. He'll, like, trap them. Like, he'll throw something over them. Or, you know, any number of things except for assaulting somebody with his uber powerful rage fists. The only thing that they're ever allowed to beat up is robots. They'll fuck robots up. The robots will explode. You know, but a lot of cartoons are like that. It's like they especially ones with superpowers, but they never use the superpowers to just fuck the bad guys up. It's always like to do some long, convoluted thing. You know, like if a character's got super speed, he'll run around them a bunch till they're dizzy. Like, hey, bro, run up to them and punch him as hard as you can. With all that extra speed behind you, they're going out like a light. The whole confrontation's over. Just do that. You know, but besides that, I don't know. I don't think he's connected it yet. You know, I've never really seen him be aggressive. There was a little boy who he sees sometimes, and that little boy is very rough with him, very pushy, shovey, grabs and pulls him and all this stuff. And my son will kind of cry, you know, because he doesn't want to fight anybody or anything like that. And I'll tell him, if he does that to you, punch him straight in his face. That's fucking right. I'll tell him that. Punch him straight in his face. If somebody comes up to you and they push you on your butt, or they grab, like I watched this kid once grab my son's shirt and pull it so hard it almost came off his body. His arm came out of his sleeve. It started coming up over his head. And this kid's just screaming and pulling, and my son is just crying. And I usually don't like to intervene. I like to let kids kind of figure it out and work it out, because I think that if you intervene too much, then the solution to the problem is where's mommy, where's daddy, instead of I'm going to solve the problem. And I would like for him to solve the problems now rather than later, when the problems are very insignificant and nothing really is going to come of them. I don't want him to have to figure out problem solving in his later years when the problems start to carry more weight. Right now, they're very, you know, innocent, stupid little problems. Figure those out. Figure those out so that you develop that neurological pathway of here's a problem, here are my options, let's go for it, you know. But yeah, in that case, I tell him. I've told him very intimately, where I've looked him in the face and I've, you know, said it to him, like, listen, if he grabs you like that, remember, because I call him this 1-2s. I go, remember your 1-2s? That's a jab and a right straight. Remember your 1-2s? 1-2 him right in the face. 1-2, right in the face. I tell him that shit. Because I'm a bad dad. I don't know. To me, that's just, I think there's a lot of people out there that go, oh my God, what? But I'm from the school of thought amongst a lot of other people that it's just not, it's not nothing, it's nothing normal. I was told the same thing, like, defend yourself. You know what I mean? But I wasn't equipped as a young man. I went to karate, I didn't like it, and so it was nobody's fault that I wasn't. I just didn't want to go anymore, and so it was like, what are you going to do with the kid? But I think if you're equipped and you know how to box, or you know how to, you know, do any number of things, if you've taken MMA classes as a child, it eliminates that, because it's all the fear of the unknown, right? Some aggressor is coming after you, and they're doing this thing to you that you don't like, and you've asked them to stop, and they've continued to do it, and now they're hurting you, and it's come to the point of, like, physical retaliation, but you have never been there, so it's the fear of the unknown. Even though, for all intents and purposes, you could kick their ass, you know, because this kid that's doing it to you is just this flailing asshole and he's grabbing you and whatever, and all you got to do is throw some strikes. You've never been there before, and so it's the fear of the unknown. So I think taking that class is great for kids, because it eliminates that fear, and they can kind of, I remember a lot of my childhood was spent wondering, like, what, because it's always, bullying is always a thing. I don't know if we're ever going to get to the point where we're going to eliminate that, and I don't know if that's necessarily good either, because we're not going to eliminate it. We might minimize it, but then you might exist in some bubble where you've never experienced bullying, and then you get into a scenario where bullying has high consequences and you're completely ill-equipped. So I think the answering to bullying might be teaching your kids self-defense, so that when and how to respect and be kind to other people, so that when those assholes do slip through that didn't get the message, you're equipped to deal with them. You're kind, but you also know how to fuck them up. So you fuck them up and you go, okay, look, that. So now when later on in life comes, when there are very high consequences for this person bullying you, you've been there before. This is just like in school. You know, this is just like that time when asshole did this to you and you handled it. So I think putting your kids in those kind of classes are a great move, because it enables them to learn, to focus on school. Because in school, when everybody is aggressive and hormonal and popularity and all this shit is a factor, so much of your time is spent wondering who's going to try you next, what is this person, you know, this person's picking on you, that, and people are laughing at you and this and that. Like, I think that if you just knew, like, I can fuck that dude up. This is, I do this in class, you know, in MMA class. This is, you know, it's embarrassing that this person is doing this to me, but if it comes down to it, it is what it is. And then if it does come down to it and you pop them in their fucking face, how many times are you going to do that before people don't try you anymore? You know? So, oh no, I wonder if this thing has frozen. Oh, I gotta check something because I'm looking at my screen right now and it appears to have stopped. Huh. Well, I don't know why. But it seems to have stopped. The time is still rolling, but it's now given up. But we're at a minute, or an hour and 6 minutes, so with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Hopefully this all goes through. I don't know what's going on, because on my end, it looks like I'm frozen, and it certainly does over here as well. So teach your kids to punch people in the face. Anyway, oh, dude, I think we're fucked. Skip ahead to the live broadcast. Let's see, does that work? Anyway, yeah, sorry, I've got to kind of wrap this up abruptly. I think I'm having technical difficulties, but we'll see on the other end of this. Anyway, thank you for tuning in to Where I Belong. I am your host, David Corbo. You can find my show on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube. When you're there, please drop a rating, a subscription, review, leave a comment. That's always good. I enjoy those, and it all helps me to gain visibility. You know, so it's great for the show to do those things. You can find me there at Where I Belong. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Where I Belong Podcast. You can find me at Twitter at Where I Belong P. And as always, don't forget to go to whereibelongpodcast.com for everything Where I Belong. And if you want to support the show, you can do it on patreon.com/whereibelong for as little as $1 a month. So if you're interested in how to support the show and you want to help it grow and be a part of it, that would be how you do it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope this comes through. Like I said, it does look like we got a bit of technical difficulties, but we'll figure it out. And if not, well, fuck it. We'll have to do it again, run it back. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I love you. Mwah. Bye-bye.